The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Tuesday, 14th day of August, 2018. And with me into the second hour here is Christopher Bolin. And I just want to read you something. First off, let me plug the website here, bolin.com. BOLLYN.com. Very short, very sweet, very simple. And one of the reviews on his book, I'm very excited about a new book written by Christopher Bolin entitled The War on Terror. I've read it, reread it, and I believe this is one of the most important books written in recent memory. The book connects the dots between 9/11 attacks and America's perpetual war on terror. This book needs to be read by every single American. If it was read and taken to heart by enough people, this book could literally change the course of history. And it goes on to say, Save Our Republic. The full title of that book is The War on Terror, The Plot to Rule the Middle East. And that was a review by Pastor Chuck Baldwin.
Yes, that's right.
I have watched the... I've watched the good pastor. He used to be in that kind of Christendom, mm-hmm. kind of Israel camp. And then I watched him do his due diligence as a man of God seeking the truth, right? And then I saw him change.
Yep.
And yes. And I'm so glad of that, because that indicates to me that there are people that are not just defending a position. Or once they make a position known, they'll stick by it, come hell or high water, right or wrong, do or die. They'll just ride it into the dust and destroy themselves.
Well, yeah, he understood that he eventually came to the realization that he was being deceived by these Christian Zionist preachers and the Scofield Bible, you know, dispensationalist crowd, and that he had been, you know, lured by a false prophet, a false prophecy. And so he now has this incredible energy to promote the truth about 9/11 and the war on terror and Israel. And, you know, he's pushing my book really well. Yeah. And he has a large audience. And so it's good that it's reaching more people, because, you know, I'm just one man, you know, with a book. But when people like Chuck Baldwin, you know, get on the bandwagon, it helps.
Well, that's like saying George Washington was just a guy that chopped a cherry tree down. You know,
yeah.
There are seminal moments and there are seminal writings that eventually become a standard. And, you know, Chris, I've chided and I've cajoled people and I've told them, I said, you know, we're on a mission for the truth, but it almost scares me with what we do know and what we were able to access, what we were able to dig out, I mean literally dig out, yeah. ferret out, that when we have access in a constitutionally limited republic, we should have the advantage to do that. But I've said that I don't know if people are ready for how bad this all has been.
That's right.
I don't know if they're ready.
No, that's right. And you know, it's pretty daunting. It's pretty sobering to look at the evil that we're up against. You know, it's like one thing though is that to make it put it in perspective is when you look at 9/11, September 11th, you look at the hundreds of people that had to jump to their deaths because it was so hot in there.
They'd much rather die than get cooked. Yeah.
Yes, and then you can easily understand that the people who plotted this mass murder of these people in 9/11 are evil incarnate. They are, you know, evil incarnate. And then when you understand that, remember that. And that all the people that are working to suppress the truth about 9/11, people who are trying to deceive us about what happened on 9/11 in order to take us to war, to kill more people, the whole crew that's behind this whole kit and caboodle are evil to the core. And so this is a real spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle that we are engaged in day after day after day. You at RBN, me in my writings, and you know, it's that's what we're up against. This is the epic struggle of the universe.
I think what we're describing here, folks, and this is not an overstatement, this is not hyperbole, what happens to this country in the very, very near future will set the standard or the blueprint for the future. And if they're able to get away with this, we're not able to wrest this democracy back from these people and reinstitute the republic, the true constitutional republic. What we're witnessing day in and day out here is the blueprint, Mr. Bolin, for the future. How's that looking to you?
No, that's right. That's right. And the United States is the leader of the Western world. And if the United States, as the United States goes, so goes the world.
You know, it used to fascinate me, people referring to the United States as being an empire. And we've had historical precedent for what empire building was all about. 1300 years the Roman Empire stood, but they were very good at conquering and looting and taking the stuff and enriching their form of government. We watched the British. Now, this was mercantilism, most assuredly. Sun never set on a British Empire. They had ships. They could giddy up and get around the world, set stuff up. You know, look at India. But the United States has often been called an empire, and it's the direct antithesis of what empire or empire building is about. You do an empire in order to enrich yourself, to expand your influence, to take certain territories under your control. And you're supposed to end up on the plus side of the column, not the minus side. This was never about empire building, was it, Mr. Bolin?
No, we're like being used. We're more like the ox that's pulling the empire cart, and it's somebody else's cart, and we're the ox that's being whipped and forced to pull this empire building program forward. You know, it's like the brains, the people that are operating the U.S. operations in Syria, for example. This is not an American design. General Wesley Clark said. He said that, you know, after 9/11, we didn't have American understanding of it. What he was saying is that we had foreign understanding. We had a foreign interpretation of what 9/11 was. And he said some hard-nosed people came in and took over American policy and never told the rest of us. But who are those hard-nosed people? Those hard-nosed people were the Zionist neocons in the Bush administration and their Israeli handlers, like people like Shaul Mofaz, the chief of staff of the Israeli military, who came to the Pentagon and told people like Wolfowitz and Dov Zakheim and Douglas Feith how it's going to go. And that's the way it's gone. So it's like it's a Zionist empire, if anything, this operations in the Middle East. And we're simply the poor ox that's being whipped to pull the cart forward.
You know, Chris, over the years, I've been told repeatedly, you know, John, you keep harping on these Jews and these Zionists and the Israelis. You keep doing that. That's keeping you very small. People don't want to touch that. Advertisers don't want to advertise on your network. They don't want to do this. Or eventually, that if you keep making a stink about this, they'll harm you, or maybe even kill you. And I have not, in the 26 years, Chris, I have not changed my tune. I refuse to, because a long time ago, we were ferreting out the truth. Before it was even mentioned about greater Israel and the desires, I kept looking at the Middle East and our involvement, and I kept looking at this, and I'm going, what are they really after? You know, I mean, is this a way to bolster the riches of the few that glean the profits off the military-industrial complex? Is this about political machinations? Are they trying to stave off something else, trying to ruin somebody else's plans? And when I kept looking at this situation, what kept coming back to me was Israel. I was already front seat observer here of what they were doing with Palestine in front of God and all his people. I mean, the rest of the planet seemed to catch on to this little deal, but the American media never did to alert the American people. And I'm just sitting back and I'm looking at this and I'm going, they're on a land grab. And lo and behold, the contention of your book is that is exactly what this is about, the war on terror, the plot to rule the Middle East.
Yep, that's it. And in the process to exploit and to acquire the mineral assets of the countries involved, for example, the Kurdistan region in the north of Iraq and Syria, especially in northern Iraq, that's where all the oil is. And guess who are the big owners? The Rothschild family, the Rothschilds, they own a great deal of that oil through a company called Genel. And likewise in Syria, they own the oil of the Golan Heights, the occupied Golan Heights, through another company called Gini. And that's why it's important for them to take the best pieces, you know, to grab the mineral assets of these countries in the process of destroying them.
Now that's empire building.
Yes.
You enrich yourself through these conquests. You don't lose your shirt. Daniel, go ahead.
But as I said, it's not an American empire. It's a Rothschild empire.
Right. Daniel in British Columbia. Hello, Daniel.
Oh, hello, Christopher and John. I had a couple of questions really quick for Christopher. I'm pretty sure it was your research that I read about Ehud Barak and his ties to 9/11 and possible securing the thermite, and also Ronald S. Lauder with the Stewart Air Force Base. And I was just wondering if you could touch on those subjects, and I'll take your answer off air. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Daniel.
Sure. Yeah, Ehud Barak was the Israeli chief of staff, highest Israeli soldier, defense minister, and earlier foreign prime minister. And Ehud Barak just happened to be in the London studio of the BBC World Television on the afternoon of September 11th, and he gave his interpretation of what this crime was all about. And he said, the world will never be the same from today on. He says, we know who's behind this. And now is the time for the United States to begin a concrete, operational war on terror. And that was the Israeli position, and that's basically been the position ever since that the United States has adopted. No evidence, you know, proving that Osama bin Laden did it, never mind. But this is important to understand, that the war on terror is an Israeli doctrine, a construct, that they put together, Israeli military intelligence put together and presented at a conference in 1979 in Jerusalem called the Jerusalem Conference on International Terrorism, hosted by the Netanyahus, arranged by Menachem Begin, the arch-terrorist, and calling for the United States to come and fight, you know, the terrorists that were plaguing Israel and the countries that harbored them. And Ehud Barak, after he lost the election to Ariel Sharon in the winter of 2000 and before 2001, he came to America, and he worked at a company, several companies. He worked for Perot's former company.
EDS.
But he also, EDS. But he also worked, had a company, some partners in Pennsylvania, who happened to be in the business of producing metal products on nano level, nano aluminum, things like that. And this is where is very interesting, because companies that produce nano aluminum are capable of producing nano thermite. So it may be the company that he his metallurgy or whatever, that this company was involved in production of the nanothermite. I don't know. The nanothermite that was produced, that was used in the World Trade Center, was extremely sophisticated, explosive that had incredible potential, energy potential. Then the question was about Lauder. Ronald Lauder, of course, was the one who oversaw the privatization of the properties in New York, which became Larry Silverstein's. He privatized the World Trade Center. He was the director of the privatization scheme under Governor Pataki, and he is the founder of the Lauder School of Government in Israel at the Mossad University, where one of his partners is General Danny Rothschild.
And Mr. Tom Ridge, that was then governor of Pennsylvania, look how fast that he was appointed director of Homeland Security. Here's a guy that he and his buddies profited off of all these security measures that we must take because we're under imminent threat of death and destruction by these evil terrorists. And folks, you know, I knew I was on the right track. And I'll say this again, people admonished me, saying that you'll never have a big network, you'll never have advertisers, you're never going to have enough money in which to operate. They will starve you out. And they have tried. What has been the godsend and the blessing is people out there realizing that these avenues of the dissemination of the important, not just the news, I mean, chatter, I mean, yeah. There's enough things that happen in life. It's a constant din. It's like a white noise. The exercise of this network has been getting down to the nitty-gritty, finding out the who, what, where, when, and why, but more importantly, why, and then bringing forth that information. And Chris, I've been admonished and criticized and saying, well, you know, you should have been as big as, say, Alex Jones or this site over here or that site. Well, there is a time for massing troops. There is a time to have one side fighting the other in a full-blown war. But people forget special operations groups. They're small. They have a mission. They go in covertly, they do the mission, and they get out. And you know what? If they're successful and don't get killed, well, they're re-upped to do another mission. That's been the ongoing mission of this network for as many years as I've been running this thing. And people just don't seem to understand that you don't have to be huge and big. It's that one idea that's passed around to the right people that will eventually win the day. If you want the weight on your world and you want the blowtorch in your face, well, fight fire with fire, okay? And chances are they're going to scorch you to medium rare somewhere in between. But we've perfected this. We have done our mission. We continue to do it. Before we get out of here today, I wanted to talk a little bit about the body count. Somebody, shortly after 9/11, shortly after we committed troops to Iraq, and when the American flag-draped coffins were coming back, somebody had the idea that, you know what, this, we can't do this like Vietnam. Let's not put the body count here on a screen wipe scrolling across the body of the bottom of the screen, you know, in black and white. That's what was happening even before we had color TV, folks. I remember those days. So they had come up with the idea, Chris, that, you know, let's not show bodies. Let's not show our servicemen coming home in coffins. And more importantly, let's not discuss the deaths on the other side of this. In your estimation, how many people have died directly at the hands of the United States government and their supposed coalition forces?
Well, it depends when you start counting, but it's certainly since the invasion in 2003, it's over 1 million. But if you count, you know, the war in Iraq began in 1991, so it's in the millions.
We can't get an accurate body count because we don't have anybody counting the bodies and reporting it honestly because they don't want to. Let's take this break. We'll hold him over for just a few minutes more. And there's one other thing I wanted to cover. Since he's living in Sweden, he can give us a bird's eye view. See, there are advantages of doing this kind of operation that many people don't even think about.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back. Why are you in Sweden?
Yeah, well, it's a long story, but in 2006, I was attacked by undercover police at my house in Illinois, outside Chicago. And they tasered me, and three undercover cops came to my house. They were a tactical unit, and they assaulted me. And I fought the they accused me of resisting their arrest, although they didn't identify themselves, and assaulting them, which was not true. So I fought it in court, and in Chicago I lost the court. I was up against a Zionist court, and I when we lost the case, and I was facing a possibility of doing a year in Cook County Jail. We said that no, that's my family suffered enough, and we went to Europe. We went back to Europe, and I've been in Sweden for quite a few years, about 9 years, I guess. We lived in Norway and Germany and Estonia, and I was at the beginning. I worked very hard for the first 5 years writing the book, the Solving 9/11, because I needed to vindicate myself to show that I wasn't making this up. that this is a very important story that needed to be documented, the 9/11 evidence. And so I wrote the book Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World. And that came out in 2012. And as I said, I've been in Sweden since about 2010, 2009.
Now, what has happened to the case in Chicago?
Well, it's two misdemeanors, actually. The judge had the option to put me in jail for a year. So rather than after having gone through a four-day trial, which was very flawed, very corrupt, that there was no chance of justice, I thought I would be a fool to hang around for the other shoe to drop and let them do what they will with me. So there was a bench warrant issued when I didn't go to court that for the sentencing 2 weeks later. I was already in Sweden. And I suppose that either warrant is still applicable in Illinois. I don't know. But the thing is that I'm able to travel in the United States, go to other states, and it's just that Chicago would be a bit risky for me because I could still be arrested there.
Well,
probably.
Well, Chris, Chicago. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
You set brush fires in Chicago, and they're definitely going to come out to piddle on you to put you.
Well, the mayor of Chicago is Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah.
The head Israeli agent in the Clinton White House and the Obama White House. You know, and this is a man who was involved in the setting up, the arranging of the actors for 9/11 under Clinton, and then the war afterwards under Obama. So it's not a good place to go for me, unfortunately.
No, I can understand. Now I mentioned the side benefit of wasting lives and money and this whole 16-year foray in the Middle East. There's a side benefit to this. We have Syrian refugees. We have Iraqis. We have Yemenis. We have people all over the Middle East that just want to get the hell out because, quite frankly, they're tired of picking shrapnel out of their breakfast cereal every morning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there has been this massive exodus from the Middle East to all parts of the world. You being in Sweden, you've seen the disadvantage of this mass migration. If you can tell the listeners a little bit about what's going on in Sweden.
Yeah, well, it's really bad. This, as you said, you know, we've caused a refugee crisis not seen since World War II. And this has meant huge streams of people flowing in to Europe from, as you said, not only the Middle East and Central Africa, Central Asia, but also from Africa. Because when they took down Gaddafi, the regime in Libya, they pulled the plug on Africa so that basically the cork was out of the bottle so that all the people could flow into that ungoverned state of Libya. And it's from there, it's a short boat ride to Sicily, to Italy. So, of course, we're having this huge influx of refugees. And it's a flood. It's a flood. You have refugees everywhere. I mean, I live in an area where I would say about half the people are Syrians or Somalis or Afghanis, you know, refugees, a lot of Syrians, a lot of Iraqis. And that has been the situation in all of Europe, but it's particularly pronounced in Sweden.
And what you don't hear, every once in a while you'll get a little glimmer. France, they're not happy about this. The people in Germany are absolutely incensed. And, you know, what do you expect what do you expect that your president of your country, your chancellor, give it a name, that used to be East German military officer? You know, these little facts are kind of missing with the American people, but we don't get those stories on the news here in this country. We don't hear what's really going on in the streets in London. We don't hear what's going on in the streets of Sweden or Norway or Germany or France or Italy. Any of these places, it's like a news vacuum, like it never even existed, Chris.
Yeah, and the strange thing is that, you know, these countries in the European Union, they have basically lost their sovereign foreign policy, their rights to create their own foreign policy for their country, so that they're dictated to. They're told that you will take so many refugees, whether you like it or not. And in the eastern part of the Europe, like in Hungary and the Balkans, those countries don't want these refugees coming into their country. and they're standing up against it. And then they're standing up against the dictates of the European Union, which is, of course, not a democratic union at all. And these countries have also that they've been part of the problem. They know what the problem is. They know the problem is the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, the war in Syria, because they have sent troops to these wars. So it's not just an American problem. The whole war on terror, the whole plot to disrupt and to rule the Middle East, is affecting all of Europe, not only the Middle East and North Africa, all of Europe, the United States, Canada, Australia, the whole world. It's a global problem.
This is why it's such an affront to the globalists that there are such things as Brexit and other countries saying, you know what, we're not happy with this. We're not happy being part of NATO. We're not happy about being part of the globalist dream here, the European Union. We want out. Another thing that's missing on people, this balkanization process, that's what we're talking about. Because now they're demanding that the respective countries that are hosting these quote-unquote refugees, these humanitarian hands that have been extended, now they're moving into the countries demanding that that form of government change to accommodate them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that never happened during World War II, I can guarantee you that. But we're witnessing something that people, they just don't really think about it. And this this exercise that we have been on behalf of the Zionists in the Middle East, has literally affected the entire world. And we can piggyback on that. We can cause problems inside the United States with the flood of not just Mexicans, but, you know, it's a humanitarian thing. Look at these poor people in Honduras and Guatemala and Mexico that just want to come to this country. They just want to be free. Mm-hmm. And yeah, here it goes. And
it's the same thing. It's the same thing they did in the Soviet Union. In the Soviet Union, they pushed these poor people from Asian republics and whatnot into the other republics. And they do that in order to dilute the national fabric of a society. So, you know, in Europe, these countries are, Sweden is a country of Swedes, Norway's country of Norwegians, Denmark's country of Danes. They're trying to create these countries to become multi-culti countries.
Yeah.
And it grinds against the grain of the people in these countries. I don't know. There was an arson attack in Gothenburg in Sweden. 80 cars were torched. 80 cars were torched by arsonists, and they said they were young men with black masks on their face, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see who they catch, who gets caught for this arson attack. I don't know.
Probably Russia. It's the Skripal thing. You know, we'll just rebrand it and shove it out there and see if it flies. And today, just in London, somebody over there decides, and the suspect is not talking, but he's in his little gray sedan, and he decides he's going to start mowing people down in the streets of London. I mean, Chris, I've known you for a long time. I knew you when you were writing for AFP, and I've known you for a number of years. And have you, in your wildest imaginings, have you ever imagined the world as you see it today?
No, that's a very good question. No, I have. I couldn't imagine. I would never have thought that it would be like this. I finished high school in the mid-70s, and I thought at that time, we all thought that things were going to get better. And to see how things have gotten so bad so quickly, so profoundly, is very, very, of course, very disturbing. But, you know, that's part of the reason why I do what I do, because their power is deception. Their power is lying to us through the media. Their power is fooling us and tricking us into accepting things that are bad for us. War and, like you said, this mass immigration across the planet, destroying our societies. For them, that's what they want to do. We are the obstacle. We are trying to explain to our fellow citizens what the game is. We're trying to say, look at that's what's going on, and we have to stop it. And that's what we have to do. I mean, it would be irresponsible not to.
You know, and it kind of fascinates me. It's been all over the headlines worldwide. The attack on Alex Jones being taken off of Facebook and social platforms, this, that, and the other. But, folks, I hope you understand the conversation we had today, laying this grand plan out. I just the sheer weight of this and who's really behind it. Alex Jones was never that hard on Israel. He was never really there to talk about the real reasons why we've got millions of people dead and dying still to this day in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. None of those issues. And I find this almost laughable. It's almost like another false flag. Well, let's create some more contention and let's divert people's attention. Let's get them talking about this, that, or the other. When we can look at this game board, we know how to win this game. We know what's at stake. We know what's in that kitty. And if you can pass jail without being thrown into it, we might have a chance of actually turning this around. And I find this rather fascinating that the people that have really been on point on this, you know, one other question I have for you here, how much of an effect do you think that would be against the Rothschilds, and it's been pronounced Rothschilds, and they're Jews, folks, okay, the globalists, the world orderist, the grand plan for a one world order. It comes out of the same group of people, but the mechanism they have used to enrich themselves to pay for all of this has been the grand plan of the world banking scam. Mm-hmm. And how much do you think the effect would be of reversing this inside the United States if we dump these damn gangster banksters here in this country?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that has to happen. It's the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds. They have been in power since 1770s, basically, and they've acquired a great deal of power. The State of Israel is a Rothschild entity. It's the State of Israel is like the operational arm of the Rothschild Empire, the Zionist International, and they have been able to do what they've done, primarily through deception and secrecy. They have secret societies like B'nai B'rith and Masonic groups, which we know at the highest level are dedicated to evil, devoted to serving the evil power. And if in order to turn this around, that's exactly what has to happen. We have to cut the relationship between these banksters and their control over our government and our American system.
All right. I've skipped the bottom of the hour break. I wanted to get a few more minutes in with you. It's now 2:40 a.m. in Sweden. I'll let you get some sleep, Chris. I appreciate you coming on the program today. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing you down in San Antonio on September 8th.
Yes. Thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure being with you.
All righty, sir.
And I'll see you in San Antonio.
Okay, sir. See you there.
Bye.
Goodbye. Wow. That's dedication to do a radio program at 2:40, ending it at 2:40 in the morning. Folks, what I was saying earlier, and I hope you were catching this, full frontal assault, look at me. Take you down the wrong track, keep you mesmerized by other issues that, yeah, are of import, but not of great import. This network has never made a big splash. Nor have I wanted to, in the social medias, on the Twitters and on the Facebooks and on this and that and the other. People kept telling me repeated, oh, you got to go do this. You got to go there. You got to go there. No, I don't. I'm running an expeditionary force here. I am running a mean little covert machine. Covert in the respect that has not stayed off of their radar. They're very well aware of us, but they always equate size. Does any of this sound familiar? Size does matter. Well, that is not always the case. When you need to do covert informational operations with the American people, and by the way, people worldwide, you don't wave a flag that says, shoot me. No. Shoot me now. We have been on point right from the very beginning. I've been doing it for a long time. This network has stayed on point, folks, and with very good reason. Not to enrich. Yeah, has it been hard to do? Oh, God. try swimming against the tide for 15 years. Noah, how long can you tread water? I don't know. Let's find out. We've been treading it for 15 years. We've stayed afloat for 15 years. Do in large part later on in this little exercise, our missions here, by the good grace of you people out there and your contributions to this network, knowing damn right well that we're on point and we need to survive. I've been watching them fall off of their own stupidity. I've watched them fall off because they've really not been committed. They've really not thought this out, that, you know what, this is going to be a long-term game. I mean, it ain't going to be over overnight. You're not going to wave a magic wand or come up with a magic formula to reverse the course and make everything all right. And everybody jumps on board and we all, you know, have a party. That's the illusion that's been painted by a lot of people. But I've watched them come and I've watched them go. The stick-to-itiveness is not there. The dedication is not there. And I was not joking one day, and I kind of likened this to, you know, being in the military. Hey, if you're still under attack and your guys are still being shot, guess what? You're still at war. I don't care who declares peace, and hey, the treaty's been signed. No, we're still dying. The mission has not been accomplished. The war has not been won. And that has been my aim and my goal for all of these years, knowing full well that this was going to be a long, long, long fight. A fight worth fighting? Well, I don't know. I'll leave that up to you. Is life, liberty, and the pursuit of get your hands off my itty-bitty, is that there for you? To be not treated as a subject, to be left alone to live your life, which has not been granted by the government, nor can it be taken away from the grand government. They're not the Wizard of Oz. They're not all-knowing, all-seeing. This is human beings. These are people's lives, families, futures, children, grandchildren. That's what this fight is about. And I am glad to have had a hand in this fight. To be sidelined in the greatest battle for mankind, literally. I'm not joking about this, folks. The United States is the linchpin. This country goes, the globalists win. You can see the control they have over other countries. Well, there's a few that they don't. There are countries that, don't make too much of a ruckus. Just stay in your seat, get out of my face. You know, you're not top priority right now. We'll leave you alone right now. But this country, with its founding documents, its principle, my God, stating, in case your government forget, these are the rights that have been granted by God, and just in case you forgot, we'll write them down for this democracy. Oh, democracy? No. We'll write the rules down and the thou shalt nots. We will put those in black and white, in writing that a sixth grader can read. Well, maybe not a sixth grader today. They're probably reading at first or second grade level, but you get the idea. And I've said before, and I'll say again, I might be a little bit biased, but how happy and pleased I could have been born in any country at any century, any millennium on this world. But I was born an American in the greatest political experiment ever exercised by mankind. And to steal what's been credited to Lincoln, sorry, but for and by the people, that we are the government, not some group of asshat bureaucrats that they have a better idea and they're going to do it regardless. No. The grandest political experiment, the best that man so far has come up with for governance of the people, not to lord over them, not to make them subjects, not to make them slaves. Well, many people will contend that we're still slaves. Every time you touch a damn dollar, you're in that bondage, and we need to break those chains. So, folks, we're going to stay in this fight. We're going to stay in for a very long time. And we need your assistance. We need the next bullet. We need the next round chamber to fire. Don't let us run out of ammunition. And that ammunition right now are those convertible FRNs. We need your support, your continued support. That is, unless you've heard some grand news of the magic wand being waved and we're not going to be necessary anymore. I don't see that. Do you? I know it's not there. It's going to be the due diligence of good Americans stepping up and doing the right thing, not only for themselves. You know, over the years, I've met some narcissistic people that were the only concerned about themselves and their lives. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's all right. If you'll leave a little food on the porch, if you'll leave some warm, dry clothes for us every now and again in this war, I guess that's something. But there have been some of us that have laid down. I mean, there wasn't a sacrifice great enough to make. And feeling honored and privileged to make that sacrifice in the fight of our lives for the greatest country that's ever been formed on this planet in human history. Wow. Jeez. Yeah, bring it on, man. Threaten this. When we have a taste of that freedom that you're more than willing to murder how many people to make that go away? Not on your life. This is a battle, folks. And Chris alluded to it. These are the uppermost or the highmost evil ones. This is literally a titanic battle between good and evil. And we'll see who's going to win out. We've got to maintain this country. We've got to maintain our people. Country goes bye-bye, they win. We all lose. And I'm speaking to you people in Canada. I'm speaking to you people who are listening to me right now in Europe or in Australia. Or hell, we even have listeners in South America, if you can believe that. To all of you out there, you see what's going all around you. What is going on all around you. And you know damn right well that the best chance for you is to have this country survive, not as their brand new democracy, not of their socialist rantings. No, to have a stable and honest government of and for and by the people. So, folks, here's the fight of your life. Here's the grand plan. We know what they're trying to do, and we're here to stop them. So supply the ammunition. Now we can even use a few new rifles. But we need your support. Go to our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org. How many times have you heard me say this? How many times have you acted on it? Remember what I said yesterday? I'm now having people coming forward and sheepishly admitting that, you know, I've listened to you for a very long time, but I've never sent you a dime. Well, now's your time. Now is your time. Because we've had consistent supporters to this network. And they're not well-heeled. They're not money bags. They don't have dollar signs in their eyeballs. These are common, everyday working people, business owners, people like everybody else in this country. But they see the value in what we are and what we're doing. And more importantly, we have never quit. Well, folks, don't quit on us. And for the 75% of you out there that have listened to this network and have never supported, it's your time. The time now is for you. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, top of the page. Right below that little banner, it says, because you can't handle the truth, real news, real talk, real people. It is real, folks. I've made it that way. I've kept it that way. Hit that donate button. Donate through PayPal as much as you can. You want to be in the fight, or you want to sit back lamenting the day that we had a chance for a few more jabs and a knockout punch, but we just weren't there to do it? Please, let us not that be our legacy. Donate or give us a call, 800-724-2719. The secretary is gone, so don't punch number one or number two. hit extension 3, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Talk to Mikey. He'd be more than happy to take your donation. Or here's our mailing address, RBN. It stands for Republic Broadcasting Network, in case you stumbled across us today and you will go, who the hell are these people? RBN. Our physical address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302. Don't forget that. Don't give the postal people an excuse for not delivering the mail. 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock. Two words, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Please, folks, help us fight another day. You know, it kind of wears on the troops when you tell them, well, we don't have any food, we haven't gotten any sleep, we have no ammunition, but we got to fight another day. Thanks, General. Thanks a lot. Let's take some calls after this break. I've got to go to little boys' room, Mikey. Otherwise, I'd skip this break. John in Kentucky, hang on. We'll be right back. No reason to get excited.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
By the way, there still are tickets available to The Ship Won't Sink, Symbol of America, Saturday, September 8th this year. down at Hotel Contessa at the Riverwalk San Antonio. Go to the website, purchase the tickets, or you can sign up for the live stream. And it doesn't cost that much. John in Kentucky. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi.
John, both you and Chris agreed, and I didn't hear you disagree, that this is a spiritual war. Is that correct?
It was framed as such, evil versus good, however that you want to apply that. I look at it as the game of marbles. Who are the titanic forces battling for freedom and liberty and life itself?
Well, you know, in the Bible, it says that it is a spiritual war, and we have to call on God. Now, don't you think, you know, you have this slogan that everybody says, God bless America.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit backwards. It should be, America bless God, and then God will bless America.
You know, John,
one of the things that we might do, okay, there's two things we need to do. One, you referred to the Scofield Bible. You understand where that originated?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell me? Where did it originate?
Early 1900s, a bunch of people got together and decided to kind of hook up Israel and Christianity and let's sell this. Let's make it inseparable.
Actually, no, that's not correct. It was back right after 1830 was when a woman named Margaret MacDonald and a guy named Edward Irving, which were in Scotland, Edward
Irving. Okay, we don't have a whole lot of time here, John.
Okay, well, anyway, let me get to it. They created something called the Morning Watch, and they came together with this thing called the Rapture Cult.
Yeah.
And you can go to 800-643-4645 and get a copy of an introductory package called The Mark of the Beast. And in that, you'll get a little paper, and on that paper, it'll give you things you can order. If you order the book, there's two books by a man who wrote The Incredible Cover-Up and The Rapture Plot. And in there it explains how 5 years after Irving and MacDonald came up with it, John Nelson Darby ripped it off and claimed it as his own, plagiarized it. And then as one of the advocates or one of the Darby brethren, Scofield brought that to the United States in the Scofield Bible.
Well, and that's
so we need to,
and John, hold on a second. And that's where I usually point to. Yeah, you're correct. I've read that myself. But
okay.
this is what hit America and how it hit it and how these churches in this country today, up to and including the preacher that I mentioned before, he was stuck with the Christendom and the Judaism thing, and you know, hey, Chuck Baldwin's made that leap, and I refer to it as the early 1900s in the Scofield Bible, how it was sold to America. So,
okay, well, I understand that, but that's only one thing. We need to dump that, and we need to get God's three high holy days on the calendars and start respecting His three high holy days. He's not gonna bless us if we're not respecting Him.
John, from formerly God's Waiting Room in Florida, now residing in Kentucky, you got through.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
John and I have had endless hours of conversation about this. John, thanks for your call. Looking for your support, too, my friend.
All right. Can't do it right now.
Okay.
I'm broke.
So am I. That makes two of us. Thanks for being here today, folks.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.